Hello, welcome to the first of three pre-retreat talks. Today's talk is titled Four Aspects of God's Plan of Salvation and How They Transform Your Life. And as our scripture passage, we're looking at John chapter 4 and the story of the woman at the well. So we're going to be looking at God's plan of salvation as it unfolds in the life of the woman at the well. God's plan of salvation has the following four aspects. 1, regeneration. 2, redemption. 3, sanctification. 4, justification. And if you are not familiar with this scripture passage, I strongly advise you to read it or reread it, okay? In verses 7 through 12, we see our need for regeneration. Now, what is regeneration? Well, a definition is the spiritual change brought about in a person's life by an act of God. Regeneration is an act of God through the Holy Spirit, resulting in resurrection from sin to a new life in Christ. Now, how does it transform your life? Well, in regeneration, your sinful nature is changed and you are enabled to respond to God in faith. Regeneration involves an enlightening of your mind, a change of your will, and a renewed nature. It extends to your total nature, changing your desires and restoring you to a right relationship with God in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." I just like to give you a little bit of history to this passage. See, there was prejudice between the Samaritans and the Jews. Samaritans were considered inferior to the Jews. But here we have Jesus striking up a conversation with her and asking her for a drink of water. When Jesus looked at the woman, he saw her as someone for whom he was willing to go to the cross. She saw herself as inferior, not worthy of his attention, not worthy of his asking her to give him a drink of water. And I ask you, how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as Jesus sees you? Do you see yourself saved, healed, delivered, and set free? Free to be all that God has called you to be? Free to enter into all the wonderful plans that God has for your life? Or are you bound by issues of the past, concerns of the present, or fear of the future, so that you do not feel able or worthy of giving to God what he is asking of you? Verses 11 and 12 of John chapter 4 show us that the woman did not yet understand what Jesus was talking about. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God, for they are folly, meaningless, nonsense to him, and he is incapable of knowing them, of progressively recognizing, understanding, and becoming better acquainted with them, because they are spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. You see, the woman at the well needed spiritual change in her heart. She needed the new birth. She needed spiritual regeneration or washing of water by the word. Titus 3, verses 3 to 5 say, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." The second aspect of God's plan of salvation is redemption. Well, what does redemption mean? Well, a definition is deliverance by payment of a price. In the New Testament, redemption refers to salvation from sin, death, and the wrath of God by Christ's sacrifice. In the Old Testament, the word redemption refers to redemption by a kinsman. You may remember in the book of Ruth, where Boaz was described as her kinsman redeemer. You see, the kinsman is a person who redeems the one in financial difficulties. In verse 15 of John chapter 4, we begin to see the fruit of the washing of the word on her mind. And she begins to see her need for change. The spiritual change she needs comes at a price she could not pay. She needed a kinsman. She needed a redeemer. And Jesus was willing to pay the price to redeem her from the curse of the law. Jesus was willing to be her redeemer. He was willing to pay the price she could not pay, with the price of his own life. Now, how does this impact your life? Well, as a believer and a follower of Jesus, he is your redeemer. Jesus laid down his life for you. You have been bought with a price. The price of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He paid the price for you because you could not pay it. What did Christ redeem us from when he was crucified on the cross? Galatians 3, verses 13 and 14 say, "Christ purchased our freedom, redeeming us from the curse, doom of the law, and its condemnation by himself, becoming a curse for us. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree or is crucified, to the end that through their receiving Christ Jesus, the blessing promised to Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, so that we, through faith, might all receive the realization of the promise of the Holy Spirit." The third aspect that we're going to look at is sanctification. And we see this at work in the life of the woman at the well in verses 16 through 19 of John 4. So, what is sanctification? In the Greek, the word is hagiasmos, which means separation or a setting apart. You see, the dominant idea of sanctification is separation from the secular and sinful and setting apart for a sacred purpose. The holiness of God means his separation from all evil. So how does it impact your life? Well, God's plan for your salvation includes your sanctification, to be holy and set apart for God. God wants the sinful and fleshly templates in your heart and mind to be brought to light and brought to submission. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 19 say, "But as the one who called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in all your conduct and manner of living. For it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.' And if you call upon him as your Father, who judges each one impartially according to what he does, then you should conduct yourselves with true reverence throughout the time of your temporary residence on the earth, whether long or short. You must know, recognize, that you were redeemed, ransomed from the useless, fruitless way of living inherited by tradition from your forefathers, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but you were purchased with the precious blood of Christ, the Messiah, like that of a sacrificial lamb without blemish or spot." Sanctification is brought about by the work of the Holy Spirit in you. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 says, "And may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through, separate you from profane things, make you pure and wholly consecrated to God, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved sound and complete and found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah." The woman at the well was separating herself from others because of the shame of her life. You see, at that time, if you needed to draw water from the well, you would go in the cool of the day. But based on the scripture, the woman went in the heat of the day, probably at midday, because she was separating herself from others because of the shame on her, of her life. You see, the scripture shows she had had five husbands and she was living with someone to whom she was not married. Okay? Jesus, however, wanted to separate her from the shame of her life and set her apart for a sacred purpose. To do this, the sinful templates in her heart and mind had to be brought to light lovingly and brought to submission. He knew her victory would be in submitting and letting her habits go. The fourth and final aspect of God's plan of salvation is justification. And we see this playing out in the life of the woman at the well in verses 20 to 24 of chapter 4, John chapter 4. Well, what is justification? Here is a definition. Justification is a divine act whereby an infinitely holy God judicially declares a believing sinner to be righteous and acceptable before him. Because Christ has borne the sinner's sin on the cross and has become to us righteousness. Justification springs from the fountain of God's grace. It is operative as the result of the redemptive and propitiatory sacrifice of Christ, who has settled all the claims of the law. Justification is on the basis of faith and not by human merit or works. In this marvelous operation of God, the infinitely holy judge judicially declares righteous the one who believes in Jesus Christ. And how does this impact your life? Well, the Lord wants you to know you are justified not by your works, but by His. Justification is by faith, not works. Jesus showed the woman at the well that it was not about where she worshiped, but how she worshiped. It was not about where she worshiped, but who she worshiped. See, it is not our work that justifies us, but the work of Christ on the cross. Because of the work of Christ on the cross, once we believe in Jesus and confess our faith in Him and His work, we are justified, declared righteous. Hallelujah. Okay, so I look forward to seeing you at the retreat real soon. God bless you.